You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All of our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com. or wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina, and we have a very special show for you today, folks. The first of two special episodes focused on our two major political state organizations in North Carolina. Today, Jason Simmons, chairman of the North Carolina GOP, is with us in the studio to talk about his organization, what they do, and how they do it. But before we get to Jason, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we like to start the show on an informal but important note. I'm here in the studio with the true talent of AARP Without Limits, Mr. Mike Davis, Mike D in the house. How are you, sir?
I am fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Good.
I'm doing great. I'm loving the fall.
I was just about to say, fall has arrived. Look at us. I mean, look how we're dressed.
That's right, man.
We've got the sweaters. I mean, we've got the fall colors on, and you've got the beard going.
I got the beard going on. Yeah. You know what? I got a little nervous the other day. As I mentioned before we went on air here, I was in Utah last week.
Right.
For work, which is nice. I've been to Utah several times. Love it. Probably going to retire there. But this time, first time for work, and I saw some colleagues I haven't seen in a while, and someone saw me with the beard. And I was actually wearing something very, right, Chris? I was wearing something very similar, Chris Brandenburg, ladies and gentlemen, in the house. And somebody said, you look very distinguished, Mike. Yeah, it's a totally different look for you. I kind of like it. And I thought, distinguished? And I started playing with my beard a little bit. And you know what?
Twirling your mustache,
I think I can do that. Because, you know, when you hit that 50 threshold, you know, you start redefining what your identity is, right? Mm-hmm. You're not a kid anymore. Technically, not kind of getting over that middle-aged hump anyway. Right, you start changing. And then I got the reading glasses. I'm doing the thing on the tip of the nose here, right now, Mike.
I see that.
The beard. I got the sweater, like the holiday sweater almost with the tie.
If you had some red and white on, you'd be set. Red and green even.
That's coming. That's coming because we are getting close to Christmas, and I'll definitely do that, Mike. I promise.
Ho ho ho!
But actually, I got the tie on today because I'm going to a conference right after the show. North Carolina Institute of Medicine. One of our friends here. Great institution in the state. AARP's done a lot of work with them over the years. And this year they're doing some really great work. A project that we brought to their attention a couple of years ago. And then timing worked out this year. And then we gave them some funding to get this started. A new study they're doing, a task force studying the issue of veterans' health. And so what are our veterans here in North Carolina going through? The health challenges? How are the health systems responding to their needs? Where are the gaps? Where are the opportunities? Where are the strengths? All that. And so we're going to go out to the conference there for a little bit. They asked me to do a little video with them, so that should be fun.
Cool.
So I got to look distinguished for that.
I like it. Yes. You look the part, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. And you do as well. I got to say, before we get to Jason, one last note on our attire. Is that UK wear or is that American?
No, these are U.S. threads.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the last time. I did have a UK sweater on that I've enjoyed, and I my hand went for it this morning, and I said, "Nope, I can't because that's what I wore the last time that we recorded." Mm. So I pulled this one instead.
And the audience just listening to this and not seeing this, Mike, they're all sitting there with their eyes closed, just imagining what we look like. Yep. 50 plus fashion, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're about here at AARP Without Limits.
We are so posh.
The way he just said that's why you're the talent of the show here, Mike.
Something like that.
Okay.
With a face made for radio, my friend.
Oh, not true. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let this guy, believe me, he's a good-looking man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Well, as I mentioned at the start of the show, this is the first installment of a special two-part series focused on the state Republican and Democratic organizations. And to make this experience one that's fair to both organizations, I prepared identical questions for each guest, which they both received in advance. We've asked each guest to refrain from political attacks or jabs, campaign messages or endorsements. Also, these shows we're not going to post publicly until they're both recorded, so there's not going to be any retort or back and forth based on the first show. And our goal here, ladies and gentlemen, is very simple. It is to let the public better understand these state organizations that lead the political parties in our state. And with that said, I'm very happy, Mike, to have with us on the show today our guest, Jason Simmons. He's the chairman of the North Carolina GOP. He's a veteran political strategist with extensive experience leading major campaigns and complex political operations. He served as North Carolina State Director for the Donald J. Trump for President campaign in 2016. And in 2020, held the role of Regional Political Director for Trump Victory, overseeing campaign efforts across multiple key states. Jason, sir, welcome to the show. Pleasure to meet you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with such two fine, distinguished, dapper-dressed men today. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. And that just warned you some point. And you're looking good with that jacket.
I love that jacket.
Looking, yes.
Yeah.
I try my best.
Well, you're pulling it off well. And back from a road trip, too. I understand 10-county tour of our state.
Yes, just got back late last night. We went all the way out to Cherokee, North Carolina, so Murphy, and then started making our way back and hit 10 counties in that stead. So we had a wonderful trip, and we saw the first snow of the winter.
Right,
as we were making our way into Clay County last Monday. And so the snow is starting to happen out there in western North Carolina.
Wow. Well, bless you for being here, sir, at 10 o'clock in the morning the day after arriving back late last night. As part of your introduction, Jason, I mentioned just a few points from your bio. So let's start there if we could. Just tell us a bit about yourself, how you got to your current role.
Sure. So been involved with politics really since I can remember in various stages, and especially had those first memories. My father was a veteran, and so can remember with great pride seeing the military parade, seeing the very just great symbols of our country, where you have our military and also having the opportunity where I started high school in Berlin, Germany, to be able to see how American influence across not just our country, but across other countries has had such a positive impact, to be able to allow countries to be able to have the same freedoms that we enjoy. And really also the counterbalance to that, where you see how communism, socialism has had such a destructive impact on societies. And so being able to be involved in this great effort to be able to promote our democracy, to be able to promote our values across North Carolina has been a great pleasure.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Most people don't follow politics as closely as we do, and naturally, I think, have very little understanding of the structure of how the Republican and the Democratic Party organizations work. So tell us, if you could, what is the NCGOP, how is it structured, and what exactly does it do?
Sure. So the North Carolina Republican Party is much like what we see across the rest of the country. So we are affiliated with the Republican National Committee. So we are its state chapter here in North Carolina. And across North Carolina, we have 100 county parties, but we also have a variety of clubs that are associated with the Republican Party. So men's club, women's club, our teenage Republicans, our young Republicans, our college Republicans. So you've got a variety of clubs and county parties that are in the communities, being able to be those connectors to society, to the public, to be able to get them involved, to get them engaged. And I view the Republican Party, our sole and kind of main focus is to make sure that we have the infrastructure in place for our candidates. So when it's time to go into the election, especially next year, we are out there being able to grow the capacity, increase the volunteer network across the state to be able to support our candidates with getting out the vote and especially protecting the ballot when we're talking about early voting, 17 days, and then on election day. So making sure that we have those great volunteers across the state engaged, trained up, and increasing the capacity to support our candidates for elections.
It's interesting. I didn't realize the association so clearly between the state organization and some of these other clubs, like you mentioned, like Young Republican clubs, men's clubs, and things like that. Just a follow-up on that, what is that? Do you find that people are surprised when they learn that? And what are some of the aspects of the organization you think that most people misunderstand?
Sure. I think you had indicated right on the front where most people may not be involved, may not be informed, may not know how to get engaged. And so I'd encourage people to go to nc.gop to be able to get more information, where you can get involved, how to be able to become more informed. And it's often an opportunity also to be able to engage with candidates at all levels, whether it's the most local or municipal elections, our countywide elections, your state house, state senate, and also our statewide candidates. It's an excellent opportunity where, as candidates are moving around the state, they're often stopping in and visiting with our clubs, with our county parties, to be able to inform, engage, rally them. And it's an excellent opportunity for people to become informed, engaged. And I often find, and one of the most frustrating things I find, is we go through all the pains, the struggles, the fights as we get ready for elections, and then inevitably I'll have a family member or a friend who says, "Oh, shoot, there was an election last week, wasn't there?" That's one of the most, you know, we spent millions of dollars trying to get out the vote and inform people, and then you find that one person, you're like, "Oh, shoot. That person I didn't have a conversation with. I didn't get them involved. I didn't get them engaged." And so it's a reminder to us that there are so many people that are passionate, but they don't necessarily know how to put their passion to good work. And so we are, at the Republican Party, always on the efforts to try and get people involved, to get them engaged, to get them informed. As you mentioned, kind of the clubs that we were involved, I was in Boone just yesterday having lunch with our college Republicans, a great young group of men and women who have such passion for our country, have passion for their community, passion for our state. They want to see the opportunities to experience the American dream that so many of us want and have. And so you see that their energy, you see their passion, and you're engaged, you're inspired to be able to see what these young people are doing. And especially in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, having the opportunity to go to so many of our college campuses, as sad as I was, as heartbroken as I was during those moments, you're inspired and you're lifted up. Where that night when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, to be able to gather with a group of students at Duke University in front of their chapel, and you saw all walks of life being able to come together to mourn, but more importantly, to lift one another up. And that's what I see really as the responsibility of our party. It's to unite one another and inspire and lift one another up for a better community, a better state, and a better country.
Fascinating. And your passion just is so clear here. Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. When we return, we're going to continue our conversation with Jason Simmons. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you here at AARP Without Limits. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, or a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please send me an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Jason Simmons. He is the chairman of the North Carolina GOP. We've been talking about how the organization is structured, and it's quite more comprehensive than I had realized myself. Jason, I got to ask, I know you just got back from a 10-county tour across the state. You just got back in late last night. Again, thanks for being here in the morning. Is there such thing as a typical day for you? What is a day in the life of somebody in your role?
Sure. So I appreciate not having normal. And so what you see from especially my role is no 2 days are typically the same. Now, you have kind of that same where we're all on that hamster wheel and we're all trying to spin around as fast as we can, and you hope at the end of the day you actually got something done. But a large part of what I do is, again, getting out into the communities, engaging with our Republicans, but also making sure that we're getting our message out, spending a lot of time in forums and settings like this, making sure that folks are aware where the Republican Party is, but more importantly, what the Republican Party is doing, as well as our candidates. So, you know, especially where you saw this summer, spending a large amount of my time talking about President Trump's tax cuts for the working family, and especially its impact that it had on communities, individuals, families, but also as we're talking about right here with our seniors, and especially the promises that President Trump made on the campaign trail, where he talked about no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, but more importantly for this community, no tax on Social Security. So being able to keep more money in people's pockets, being able to see our economy continue to thrive, and making sure that, as I talked about with those young people, being able to tap into that American dream. What I found so frustrating over the last 4 years is what you saw, well, really people were disenchanted. They saw where the American dream became so out of reach, where the affordability of anything became so burdensome, whether it was going to the grocery store and filling up your cart with groceries or going to the gas station filling up your car. Those things became a concern, a burden, a worry that people should not have. And so what you see is really what we're focusing on at the Republican Party and with our candidates is continuing to make, especially North Carolina, the greatest place to work, live, educate, and also retire, and making sure that we've got an opportunity across this state to be able to enjoy really what our state can produce, but more importantly, our country can also, and making sure that as we see what we're doing in this state, it matters, and making sure that people have that opportunity to enjoy their lives and mm-hmm. not be burdened with really the burdens of society, but more importantly, the decisions that our policymakers make. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned before in a previous answer how your organization engages with voters across the state. How does your organization incorporate what you hear as state-specific issues or local concerns into the platform? How does that piece work?
Sure. So we have a set platform that the Republican Party votes on at our annual convention. So once a year, we review our platform and we see if there's any adjustments that need to be made. Mm-hmm. And then the body of our convention, which can be 2,000 individuals across the state that are representing as delegates from their communities, from their counties, vote on our party platform. And our platform really is founded on family, on faith, and our freedoms, and making sure that those principles are underlined across any of the policy issues that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so we are very much adhere to our party platform and encourage our candidates and our elected officials to do the same.
Mm. And as you know, North Carolina is one of the fastest aging states in the country in terms of the demographic makeup. I know you're listening to constituents as you go out. How specifically are there efforts within the organization to, you know, target and listen to, you know, seniors, people who are 50 plus, 65 plus? Is there a special division that does that, or is that sort of incorporated into the overall outreach that you guys do?
It's really incorporated into a lot of what we do. You look at especially our party leadership across our communities in the counties, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We are collecting that information. We're collecting that. More importantly, our candidates and elected officials are also hearing directly from the community, hearing from the citizens, making sure that they understand what are those key issues, what are those key priorities that are important to the people that are more going to decide who is going to represent them, the voters themselves. And so making sure that we understand what those top issues are. And it's consistently the economy, education, public safety. And those three will fall in some order, one through three, depending upon what type of set of issues are going on. So especially this summer, we saw really a heightened awareness with crime, with the just absolutely horror and the act that was committed on the light rail system with the murder of Irina Zaruska.
Right, yeah.
You know, that brought crime to the forefront. You saw our General Assembly here in North Carolina come back into us and took up a bill to be able to address what they believed were some of the loopholes that were being taken advantage of by magistrates and judges, and really those that would espouse some of the woke policies of defunding the police and cashless bails, but making sure our communities can continue to have a sense of safety in order for us to be able to have a stronger economy, be able to make sure that we can educate our students across all of our public school systems, community colleges, and allow those people the opportunities that all of us want. A better America, a better North Carolina, and a better community.
I'm glad you mentioned the incident in Charlotte, because as an example, it was interesting. Our state legislature took action and our governor signed it. What opportunities do you think are out there as far as bipartisan cooperation goes? Because that seemed like a no-brainer. It was an absolutely horrific incident that took place. And it brought into question a lot of questions about how our criminal justice system works and how it's not the same everywhere. You have localities where things are different for various reasons. But on other issues, are there opportunities that you see where there can be bipartisan cooperation? Because that seems to work for everybody. I mean, the country, though it is very politically divided, at the end of the day, they want to see stuff get done. And we know that most of the time you have to work together to get stuff done.
Agreed. When you look, especially where our state's been over the last, say, 15 years, when Republicans came into control of the state legislature, our state had a $5 billion deficit where we were in debt. And over the course of really the last decade plus, you saw the legislature being able to take control of its fiscal spending and to be able to then have over $5 million in its rainy day fund. And as I mentioned, I just came back from Western North Carolina, and when it rained, literally in Western North Carolina, and caused such devastation, we were able to utilize those funds and the rainy day fund to be able to support, to be able to take care of those in their time of need. And that's where we continue to see really the bipartisan support. When people are in their need, we want to make sure that we can be there for them. But what we saw was a lot of failures by government, especially in Western North Carolina, where people were left to take care of themselves, be able to take care of their neighbors, the communities, the faith-based communities. So we want to make sure that government works for everybody. And that's what I think we can agree across the aisles, is we want to make sure people have the opportunity to know that their government is there for them in their times of need.
Mm-hmm. Next question I have for you might be a little difficult one to answer, because we at AARP kind of struggle with this too. Making connections between younger voters and older voters. I mean, there's such a huge change, a difference in generations, right? And even, unfortunately, I see a lot on social media, there's a lot of blame, because we know younger people don't have the optimism that previous generations do in terms of their economic future. There's a lot of blame. Oh, it's all the boomers, and they're having all these benefits, and we're struggling just to figure out what our retirement could look like, or even what our jobs are going to look like after AI is finished with us. In the work that you do you see opportunity, like for you, and again, this, you may not have a clear answer on that, so I'll give you a pass if you don't, but are there opportunities that you see or instances you see where there's sort of a good alignment between younger voters and older voters?
I do. I go back and I mentioned, my visit at DAP State this past, yesterday. One of the things that I am encouraged by is that next generation. And what we also encourage, especially with our women's clubs, is to effectively adopt some of those college kids, mm-hmm. being able to mentor. So our men's clubs, our women's clubs, effectively mentor and adopt those college kids. That way they can serve as a connector back into the Republican Party, give them opportunities to be able to, hear from wise people that have some experience, to be able to also serve as really not just the mentors, but also help them with opportunities as they graduate, to be able to inform them of, here's opportunities within my company or other organizations, or go on to law school. But really, there is an opportunity that young and our seniors need to be able to come together, have those conversations. And I do see, especially, this past weekend, where some of the wisest words we heard at one of our meetings that we have, an 18-year-old stood up and reminded us why we are all in this. We're in this for our family. We're in this for our kids. We're in this for our grandkids. And we're involved because we want to make this place a better world.
Excellent. Any final words?
I appreciate the opportunity. And again, for those that want to get involved, that want to learn more, they can go to our website, nc.gop, to learn more and get involved.
Excellent. Jason, thanks so much for being here. I really enjoyed the conversation with you and learning more about your organization, and look forward to getting to work with you guys more. And let me just put it out there too, AARP, you know, our job is we work with whoever's in power. We work with both parties because these are human issues. These are American issues, not left or right ones. And we look forward to your predecessors running for Senate, Michael Whatley. So we look forward to engaging with him next year as that race heats up. And we want to just offer ourselves as a resource on, you know, quote unquote, senior issues, and wanting to know what's important to older voters here in North Carolina. Feel free to reach out, and love to have you back on the show at some time too.
Very appreciate the opportunity and the conversation.
Great. Well, folks, that is a wrap. I want to thank Jason Simmons for being our guest today. Thank Mike Davis for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olinger, the State Director with AARP North Carolina, and we will see you next time.